Sandra. Thank you, Bell Choir. As you probably are aware, our Bell Choir has members who come from a variety of churches. We're always delighted to hear them. And if you want to hear them again, you can follow me over to Union Congregational, where they will be performing during the worship service today. Thank you again to Bell Choir. We do have some announcements. Our Food Pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Kathleen and Ron McPhee and Peggy Bjerke. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we will have Bible study here as we watch episode 5 of season 3 of The Chosen. Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Junior Bell Choir will be practicing. 5:45, we have youth group and confirmation. 6:15 is our last soup supper. So 6:15, soup supper, 7 p.m. worship over at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. I've had several people come up to me saying, I'm really going to miss it when we stop having soup suppers. So there's some conversation in the works about meeting periodically, maybe having potluck and playing games or having some other way for us to meet once again so that it's not waiting another year until we have fellowship time together like this in the evening. Thursday at 1 p.m. is Bell Choir practice. And I know Dean has an announcement for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just got to thinking about all the volunteer efforts that are being done by people within the church. I mean, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have our volunteers. And I know several of you do more than one volunteer effort. And I know everybody in the church appreciates it. Why don't you give yourself a hand? And I have another thing to bring up, would be the Meals on Wheels. And I've already talked to several people, and they have accepted the challenge to help with the home-delivered meals. And I sent out an email, I hope everybody got one, talking about volunteering, about an hour and a half during the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for several times during April. So I've got a sign-up sheet in here. Otherwise, get a hold of me or Pastor so that we can get this set up for April. And I believe it'd be next Sunday would be the last time I can. Well, I'll sign up people after that, but the coordinator would like to have information prior to April so that they know if we cannot do the entire Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during April, they will have people to fill in. But please contact me, and we'll have a good time this year. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dean, for coordinating this once again this year. You will also see a little purple sheet about Easter lilies. We're asking that if you would like to donate to our Easter Lily Fund so that we can purchase some lilies for the altar, and you want to honor or remember someone, you can fill out this little purple slip. And because there seem to be so many celebrations this month, on the very first Sunday, I announced that our birthdays were Ben Pearson, Dean Knauer, Linda Champlin, and Jean Baum. And our anniversaries are Mary and Rob McCorkle, Carol and Grant Dibdahl, and Ann and Buck Gilbert. We have special treats today. First, because it's St. Patrick. Second, because we have so many things to celebrate. For Carol and Grant, how many years will this be that is being celebrated?
68
years. And Ann and Buck, how many years will it be for you?
It'll be 58.
58 years. That's wonderful. So please remember to stop by for fellowship after the service and congratulate these people who are celebrating such milestones. Do we have any other announcements? If not, let us join together in the confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who writes the law on our hearts, who draws all people together through Jesus, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Held in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, we confess that we are caught in the snares of sin and cannot break free. We hoard resources while our neighbors are hungry and cold. We speak in ways that silence others and are silent when we should speak up. We keep score in our hearts and let hurts grow into hatred. For all the ways we have not loved you with our whole hearts and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for all our sins, those we name aloud, and those only you know, forgive us, Lord. Amen. Hear of the abundant outpouring of God's grace. Out of love for the whole world, God draws near to us, breaks every snare of sin, washes away our wrongs, and restores the promise of life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Now the Green Blade Rises, number 379. Gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. In Jeremiah, the Judeans in Babylon blamed their exile on their ancestors who had broken the covenant established at Sinai. Here the prophets look to a day when God will make a new covenant with the people. There will be no need to teach the law because God will write it on their hearts. The scripture reads, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord. For they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12, responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you see, and right in your judgment.
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth even within me, and there will have no wisdom within
me. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear your joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit.
The second reading will be from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. In this reading, using primarily imagery and references to the Old Testament, the author explains how Christ lived in trusting obedience to God. And so God has made Christ the source of our eternal salvation. The reading starts, "Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' And he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.'" In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
To John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During Lent, we have been talking about God as being a God of the covenant. And today, we encounter the prophet Jeremiah. Now, for some reason, it seems that people who are called as prophets find ways to make excuses for why God should not have called them. We heard from Moses, I can't do public speaking. Go ask my brother Aaron. We heard from the prophet Isaiah, "I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips." And one of my favorites, Jonah, "Don't send me. They're the enemy. If I preach to them, they might repent. You might not destroy them. Please don't send me there." And Jeremiah had his own excuse. Let's hear Jeremiah's excuse for why he should not be a prophet. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," meaning Jeremiah, "saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.' Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' So his excuse, 'I'm too young.' Do you think God accepted that excuse? Nope. Instead, God said, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And so the Lord sends them to preach to the people. And Jeremiah, I can say, is not the cheeriest of books. Does anyone here have Jeremiah as their favorite book of the Bible? I didn't think so. Because this is a book mostly of condemnation. It is a book where he has to prophesy that bad things are going to be happening to the people, that they have refused to repent, and that therefore exile is coming. And exile does come. It comes in a terrible way. And Jeremiah is asked to do many strange things as a prophet. If you don't believe me, go home and read chapter 13. Or as I would tell my confirmation kids, don't read chapter 13. You don't want to read chapter 13 of Jeremiah. Oh, no, no. Anything but chapter 13. I don't want to put ideas in your head. That's the one about the loincloth. If you don't remember it, go home, read chapter 13 and see some of the strange things God told Jeremiah to do to witness to the people. So a lot of this book is really rather depressing because it tells the people how sinful they are and that they are going to land in exile. And they do. For a long time, they are in exile. As our reading today said, that God sent Jeremiah with the message that you have broken the covenant, people of God. Even though I was your husband, you've broken the covenant. Now, you might wonder which covenant have they broken, because there have been so many of them. God has made covenants, as we talked about early on, with Noah. He made covenants with Abraham. He made a covenant with Moses, and it's probably the Mosaic covenant we're talking about. Remember those Ten Commandments? Well, they didn't all the time, and so they broke them. And you'd think that the entire book of Jeremiah might be a book of reproach, but there is a section that is called the Book of Consolation. These few chapters that tell the people that there is hope, and that's where our reading from today comes. Jeremiah begins that surely the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the people. God hasn't given up on the people despite their continuous breaking of God's law. God has not given up on them. God is faithful. God fulfills God's portion of the covenant even when the people remain unfaithful. And so God tells Jeremiah to comfort the people with the words that a new covenant is going to be made. Not like the covenants before, not like the covenant even of Sinai. But he will make a covenant that will be set in their hearts. A covenant written on their hearts. And in that covenant, God will be their God. And they will be God's people. And because the law is written on their hearts, because the covenant itself is written on their hearts, they will know God. They will no longer have to question who God is, what God means, what God is all about, because they will have that within their very hearts. So that even the least among them, and even the greatest among them, will know who God is. Because it's been written on their hearts. And these words of comfort, that the Lord will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That despite how many times they have broken their side of the agreement, God remains faithful. And God will put this new covenant in their hearts and forget all of the past. And in our psalm, we hear those words as well. Create in me a clean heart, O God, a clean heart upon which this covenant can be written. Renew a right spirit within me, meaning not my spirit, but your spirit, O God, put within me. It says, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Those are words that should be engraved on our hearts. And I think over the course of this week, I will ask you to look at these words, pray these words fervently. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with your bountiful spirit. We are rapidly approaching the end of Lent. And how many of us thought that we'd be further along in our spiritual journey than we are right now? I'm going to be the first to raise my hand. All of these things that I plan to do to become even closer to God, somehow daily life has kept me from many of those things. And so this is a prayer I need to pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Put your spirit within me, not the spirit of the world, not my own selfish spirit, but put your spirit within me. Draw me closer to you. Draw me closer to your spirit. Because the days are short. Not just the days of Lent. Next week we have Palm Sunday, and then we enter Holy Week. But we've been told over and over in our readings for Lent how short life is. How we need to repent. And how we need to repent now. Because this moment is the only thing given to us. We don't know what the future holds. Do you truly believe God has written God's law in your heart so that you know God? If so, spend these next days of Lent drawing ever closer to God so that your heart is ready not only for the great feast of Easter, but the eternal banquet to come. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, our hymn for Lent, God of our life. You'll find it in your bulletin.
Thank you.
profess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
God of the covenant, through the church you draw us into community. We give thanks for the means of grace around which we gather. Inspire writers, musicians, and artists whose creative gifts adorn our worship. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all that exists, you lavish the earth with extravagant beauty. Preserve the rich and complex diversity of living things. Support local, national, and international efforts to protect the environment for future generations. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
God of the nations, you desire peace and plenty for all people. Defend those who challenge oppression and expose corruption. Support advocates for human rights, social justice, and the welfare of children. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of goodwill, you restore what is broken. We pray for any experiencing estrangement, conflict, or abuse in families and intimate relationships. Protect and comfort all who are vulnerable, especially those living in institutions. And we pray also for those who seek healing in mind, body, or spirit, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
God of every time and place, you are with us. Support ministries of prayer and presence in this congregation. Move us to reach out to any who are homebound, lonely, grieving, in treatment, or ill. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of promise, we give thanks for the saints whose faith inspires us, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Grant us faith to trust in your everlasting love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Let us pray.
Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with your holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast. We're renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join our unending hymn.
Body. body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you
know fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our repentant pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms the making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And as you go into the world, God's love, receive this blessing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending hymn, number 512, Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil.
Thank you.
So you'll have somebody else here that can help me. Right, because I always first try. So it's maybe that.
I know, it's not going to feel a little bit. It's dangerous.
I just didn't want to get you out of it.